Good morning. So good to see you today in the presence of the Lord in this place. We've had a good morning already in early worship and had a baptism to celebrate and some decisions that were made. A good morning in Bible study from all indications. And now as we anticipate what God has for us during this time, welcome. I'm so happy you're here. Let's pray. Lord, we do glorify you today. We thank you so much for Jesus and for the difference that he has made in our lives and the lives of so many for 2,000 years. And we're blessed, so blessed. And thank you, God, for just your Holy Spirit moving in our midst, in our lives individually and in the life of our church. Help us to do what you have commanded us to do, and that's to love one another. And Lord, that we truly would demonstrate our love to you by obeying your commands. Help us, Lord, to have a great time of worship as we focus on you, not ourselves. We focus on you and your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Standing on the solid rock this morning, I sure hope so. Why don't you stand with me as we begin? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy.
To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory for the things he has done. With his blood he has saved me, with his power. That's right.
welcome. Glad you're here on our 10:30 traditional worship. All of you that are guests today, we are glad that the Lord has led you to worship with us today. Take a few moments, walk around, welcome your friends. Glad you're with us today. Good to have you.
The time he put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God, he's good all the time. In the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good all the time. We were sinners, so unworthy. Still for us he chose to die. He filled us with his Holy Spirit. Now we can stand and testify that his love is everlasting and his mercies, they will never end. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good all the time. Though I may not understand all the plans for me, my life is in your hands, and through the eyes of faith I can clearly see God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. He's so good. God is good. He's so good. God is good. He's so good all the time.
Amen. Can I get an amen on that one? Praise the Lord. You may be seated. As we continue singing about the power of God and the power of his blood that overcomes the sin, death, and the grave. Jesus, the power of the resurrection is what we desire, what we want to know. Hymn number 329, there's power in the blood.
Your working power.
from Jesus and His Holy Spirit within us and His power in our lives that we live. If we know Christ and the power of His resurrection, that makes us want to do things for Him and do service for Jesus, our King. Let's think about that as we sing this last stanza.
Would you do service for Jesus in me? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you do David's praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power of God, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb.
Singing. Thank you for participating and pouring out your praise unto the Lord. We sing our offertory hymn. It's Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, hymn number 572. Remain seated on the first two stanzas and we'll stand on the last to receive the morning offering together.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
Father, we humbly become before you this morning, Lord, with joy in our hearts, thankful that we have a Savior that loves us and provides for us and cares for us, Lord. We're thankful, Lord, that we can bring our petitions to you in prayer and Lord, just glorify your name and lift you up, Lord, with song and through the study of your word. And we pray, Lord, that this morning that everything that we do is pleasing to your eye, Lord, and brings you and you alone glory. Lord, as we take up an offering this morning, we just pray, Lord, that you multiply it and bless it. May it used be the furtherance of your kingdom. And in all things, may you receive honor and glory. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Just a closer walk with thee. Thank you so much. So I'd like for us to sing together. The choir's going to lead, and I'm going to lead a song taken from the scripture, Philippians 4, 11 through 13, and verse 19. So I'm going to sing through the first time. You sing with me with the choir, the second time on the chorus. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me, who strengthens me. He supplies my every need. He supplies my every need. Oh, yes, indeed. Oh, yes, indeed. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me, who strengthens me. He supplies my every need. He supplies my every need. Oh, yes, indeed. Oh, yes, indeed. I have learned to be content in every circumstance. I know how to have a little and a lot. Yes, I've learned to be content in every circumstance. Whether hungry or well-fed, in abundance or in want, I can do all things through Christ.
I can do all things through Christ,
who strengthens me, who strengthens me. He supplies my every need. He supplies my every need. Oh, yes, indeed. Oh, yes, indeed. Oh, yes, indeed.
I can do all things through Christ. I can do.
Thank you so much, Ken and choir. So I will give you one guess as to the verse of scripture that we are on today. As we walk through the book of Philippians, we're in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, and we have just sung about this incredible verse. Wednesday night, we went all the way through the end of the book, end of the letter to verse 23. Next Sunday, we'll close it all out. But today, we backtracked to verse 13 because if you're going to do a study of the book of Philippians and you're going through the preacher, you're going through the book of Philippians doing Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, well, you can't miss Philippians 4:13 for a Sunday morning. So we're backtracking to Philippians 4, verse 13. But let me tell you a little story. I'll give you just a little story time. oftentimes my stories start out with something like this. In staff meeting, Paul said this, or Micah said this, and then it kind of led to this. Or a lot of my stories will go something like this. Karen and I were talking in the office the other day, and Ken walked in on our conversation. I don't know what we were talking about. Were we talking about this verse? We might have been talking about the shoes we had on. I don't even know. Who knows what we were talking about. But Karen and I were just kind of standing there talking. Ken walked in, and in the conversation, Ken said, "Hey, I'm going to do a song Sunday, and so I want y'all to hear the song to see if you think this is going to be good for Sunday." And so Karen and I, okay. And so Ken just broke out in a cappella, and he just started singing. And he started singing this song, "I Can Do All Things." So I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I picked up real quickly on what was going on. So Ken has found a song that is about this verse, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." And so he's kind of singing through it, of course. And I'm thinking, oh, this is great. This is awesome. This is going to be absolutely fabulous. Well, then all of a sudden, Ken gets to a part of the song that puts the song and the verse in the correct context. I can go through anything, whatever the circumstance may be, good, bad. I'm full, I'm empty, I've got it all, I have nothing. So Ken, in this song that Ken is singing is going into the context of the verse, which to me just stands out and really dances now. I mean, I'm like getting all excited. I'm going, oh, Ken, yes, that's perfect. Because oftentimes if you were going to sing or have a song from Philippians 4:13, then it would be Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength." But then to put it in the context of why or how the verse was written in the first place, that really stood out to me. And I was like, oh, Ken, that's awesome. That's going. That's got to happen for Sunday. Then I said to Ken, I said, "Where did you get that song?" And Ken said, "Well, I got it from Ken Patterson." So Ken had written the song that week to go along with our text for today. But Ken, being the humble servant that he is, looked at Karen and he said, "Actually, I didn't write it. The Apostle Paul wrote it. I just kind of put it to music." So thank you, Ken, for putting to music this incredible verse. This is probably, if not the most popular verse in Philippians, it's certainly one of them. And the reason that it's so popular is because it's so easy. It's easy to quote. It's easy to get in your brain. But it's not only one of the most popular verses in the book of Philippians, but it's also the most misunderstood verse in this letter that Paul writes to the church in Philippi. "I can do everything," or some of your translations, I was told after the early worship, and I can't remember what translation is, but one of the young ladies that's visiting our church, she said, "My translation says, I can endure all things through Christ who gives me strength." And I think that's exactly right. I can endure. I can go through. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Now, if there was ever a time for context, if ever there was a time for the preacher to make sure you understand the context, then this verse is it. Because this poor little verse has been taken out of context for 2,000 years. And it has been used for every situation known to man. Anything or everything, according to your text, your translation, has been misunderstood and taken out of context to literally mean anything. You name it. Literally, you name it. It has been inserted for anything. From athletes who are wanting to go to the next level, whatever that level may be. "Well, I can do anything." Okay. To business relationships or my business, whatever my business is, "Well, I can do anything." Okay. Love relationships, "I can do anything." And so anything has been inserted to mean just about anything. If there's ever been a verse of Scripture that I feel sorry for more than any other verse in Philippians or even in the New Testament, is Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I said a week or so ago that poor little Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 has had to hang its poor little head in shame more times than it could care to even count and say, no, that's not what Paul meant. And that's not the context of what he's trying to say. So today what we're going to really try to do is we're going to try to understand this verse of Scripture, not just understand it for our own personal lives, but we're going to try to understand it in the context that it was written. Paul says, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. So what does Paul mean? Well, context, context, context. What is the context? So Paul is bringing this letter that he's writing to the church at Philippi. He's in a prison cell. He is doesn't know if he's going to live or die. And he's writing this letter to the church of Philippi addressing all of these different issues that we've addressed as we've walked through Philippians. So Paul now is coming to the conclusion. And he's trying to write these final words to encourage the church and the body of Christ. So he basically says, I praise the Lord for your concern for me, even though you didn't have an opportunity to help me at this particular moment, but that's okay. And then he says the reason that it's okay is because I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstance is, whatever circumstance I'm in, I've learned to be content. I can live with nothing, which he's living with nothing in a prison cell, or I can live with anything. He's had times in his life when he's had more material possessions and money that he would ever know what to do with. I can live with everything. I can live with nothing. I can have a full stomach, or I can be empty. It doesn't matter. Why? Because I can do anything. You hear that, church? I can go through anything. I can endure any situation. I can endure. I can go through any circumstance. And Paul is now just given a brief idea of just, you know, I can do full. I can be empty. I can have a lot. I can have nothing. But it doesn't matter. I can do anything. Why? Because Christ is the one who is going to give me strength. Because I'm in Christ Jesus. Church, you just don't realize how powerful that verse is and what that means to us as the body of Christ. We oftentimes just kind of skip over that verse, and we really fail to understand just how important that is. Paul is not giving us the American mantra. Paul is not telling you can be anything that you want to be. You know how as Americans we talk about that a lot, and if you watch any TV whatsoever, you'll find maybe an athlete or somebody that will say, oh, if you'll just do this, you can be anything that you want to be. And I'm not here to bust your bubble. I'm not here to dash all of your dreams, but no, you can't. You can't be anything you want to be. Or the American mantra will say something like this: well, you can do anything that you want to do. And then oftentimes we take that verse of Scripture. Well, Paul says, I can do anything. I can do anything, be anything, because Christ is going to give me the strength. And Paul is not saying in any way, shape, form, or fashion that as an American mantra, well, you can be whatever you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do. No, that's not at all what Paul is trying to teach us. I mean, unless it is that your dream, it may be that you have a dream to be in a Roman prison and to not know whether you're going to live or die every single day, and to have nothing to eat and to be empty on your stomach and to have no clothes on your back and to have no food to eat. That may be your dream. Well, if that is your dream, then maybe that is right, because you can do it, because Christ will give you the strength. Last week I quoted R.C. Sproul about Stoicism. Now, you have to understand, and I didn't go through the details because we do not have a 21st century American Stoics We have, but they're not very popular. So this is not a popular movement in the American culture. Now, let me transport you back to the first century. In the first century, Stoicism was an incredibly popular movement. So when Paul is writing these words about being content, whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, Paul is combating one of the most popular philosophies in the first century, and that is Stoicism. Stoicism, Sproul writes, once again, was one of the major philosophical systems of the ancient world. Stoics believed that there was little they could do about the circumstances they faced, but that they could control their response to events in a way that ensured their contentment. Certainly, we can see some insights into Stoic philosophy, not the least of which is the importance of our response to the events and people around us. Moreover, contentment was a virtue not only for ancient Stoics, but also for the body of Christ. Paul says in verse 11, I've learned to be content with whatever I have. Here's the point. The difference between Paul and the Stoics was the source of power. Stoics, Paul is combating the Stoics in writing these words to the church of Philippi. Stoics tried to find their source of power, their power in themselves. Look at me. Paul found his power in Jesus. So the Stoics were very much like the Pharisees of the first century. Not in a religious perspective, but they were much like the Pharisees of the first century in that it was all show. This was all for show. This is all look at me. Look at what I can do. Look at the power that I have. Look at my source of strength. Now, that all had to be done out in public, but behind the scenes, you can count on the fact that they knew good and well that wasn't true. But it was like the Tower of Babel. God, we want the credit. I want all the credit. So very much like the Pharisees in that, look at me, look at me, look at me. Showy. This is me, this is me, this is me. Well, for the Apostle Paul, everything was about Jesus and his power. And their church is the difference. John MacArthur said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It's not an expression of confidence in oneself. Instead, it is an expression of sufficiency in Christ. No matter what happens to us, we are in Christ, and that is enough. If we're wealthy and prospering, we're in Christ. If we're poor and suffering, we're in Christ. Ultimately, both economic statuses are of little consequence. What matters is that we are in Jesus, for Jesus alone can strengthen us to resist the temptations that uniquely attend wealth, as well as those uniquely attend poverty. To live in Christ and to die is gain. Everything we do must be done in and through our Lord and Savior. Because believers are in Christ, He infuses them with strength to sustain them. And then Sproul ends that thought on Stoicism, says, our peace amid joy and tribulation is not based on our ability to calmly face life, but on the facts that we belong to Christ, and that He never lets us go, and that He is faithful to give us the grace to live for Him no matter what our circumstances. Yes, yes, yes. If we depend on our own power and our own strength and our own character, we will by no means find lasting peace. But when we trust in Jesus and when we seek to do everything in Him, then we can serve Him faithfully. This does not mean that our concerns go away. Boy, I wish that it did, but it doesn't. It means that our concerns no longer define our lives and bind us with worry. On the contrary, we rest satisfied in the Lord no matter what happens around us. This morning, I told a story about one of our church members, Dustin Hornbuckle. I got the quote right, I got the story wrong. So here's good news. I saw Dustin in between the two worship services right after Sunday school. Dustin was doing security. So he was not in here. His wife, Lindsay, and son, Austin, and daughter, Ray, they were in here. But he wasn't in here. He was out doing security. But I saw him and I said, "Do I got it right?" And he said, "You've got the quote perfect. Exactly right. All right. The story is, okay, you got to work on the story a little bit." So Dustin was at Strength to Stand as one of the counselors with Warren, Heather, and the youth back in the middle of January. And I thought that he heard this from one of the speakers, but he said, no. He said, one night, all lights were out, in bed, looking at my phone, and I see a sermon. I decided I'm going to listen to this sermon as I'm kind of trying to go to sleep. And he said, "Man, it was one of the best sermons I've ever heard." And he said, in the sermon, and this is the quote that the preacher gave that really meant the world to Dustin Hornbuckle at the time that he heard this quote. I got the quote 100% correct, so I'm proud about that. This guy said, "If you're going to pray, don't worry. If you're going to worry, don't pray." That's powerful. If you're going to pray, "I'm taking this to the Lord," then don't worry about it. If you already have it in your mind that you're going to drive yourself absolutely insane worrying about it, why are you going to pray? Why are you trying to give something to the Lord as sovereign God if you're just going to keep taking it on for yourself? Man, that hits everybody in here and everybody watching on Facebook. Because we are all sinners and prone to wonder, "Lord, I feel it." Context is everything. Dustin is a 41-year-old young man in our church who's married, who has a junior high son, and has an elementary school daughter. And he's battling cancer for the second time at 41. So he's the one that sends me, this quote. And he said, "Man," talking about somebody needing to hear this, "if you're going to pray, don't worry. If you're going to worry, don't pray." I think that's kind of what the Apostle Paul is talking about when he says, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength," who is in a prison cell, who doesn't know whether he's going to live or die. And then he writes, "I can do this." Why? Because Christ is the one who gives me strength. So Paul, throughout this whole letter, he's thankful. Paul, throughout this whole letter, is full of joy. Paul, throughout this entire letter, his attitude is the attitude of Christ. Paul's values are found in Christ. Paul's life is Christ. So everything from this letter, everything about the Apostle Paul is all about being in Christ. I want to know Christ and I want to know the power of the resurrection. That's what I want. That's where I am. And why can I do all this? Because everything, anything I go through, I can do it because I'm in Christ Jesus. This side of heaven, church, this side of heaven, there will never be a day when that verse doesn't challenge me, ever. As we grow in our faith, that is a challenge. Now, here's how I ended the early worship, and I'll end it the same way. In this worship service, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, then I don't mean it ugly and I don't mean it mean. I mean it blunt and truthful and clear. And I say this all the time. If you don't know Christ as your Savior and Lord, you are literally on your own. You're on your own. It's like being in a room that is so dark that you can't see the hand in front of your face. And you're trying to make it in this room, wherever it is, to go to the next room to find the door to go to, but it's so dark you can't see the hand in front of your face. And that's the picture of what it's like to live in the world that I live in without Jesus. wandering aimlessly, just maybe your circumstances will be good. Good for you. Maybe they'll be bad. Good for you. Well, whatever. But you are. You're trying to face that, walking through a dark room, and there is nothing you can do but just keep wandering aimlessly, and you and I will all hope that at some point you'll find the exit. But until then, it's just like walking through a dark room. For those of us who know Christ as Savior and Lord, we're in the same house. It's not like we live a totally different life. Oh, no. No. We still have 41-year-olds that are battling cancer for the second time. We still face family issues, financial difficulties. Same thing. So we're still in the same house. But our room is light. It's bright. And it's filled with the light of Christ. Because I can do all things. I can endure all things. I can go through whatever it is that the Lord has in store, because I'm in a room that is filled with light. And I can see Jesus. Father, thank you so much for that powerful word to us today from the Apostle Paul. I'm content whatever I'm going through. Why? Because I can do anything. I can go through anything. I can do any situation because I'm in Christ Jesus. Has nothing to do with his own power or his own strength. It's just all trusting in Jesus. It's not showy. It's not look at me. It's not Tower of Babel. I want all the credit. I want all the praise. No. It's the Apostle Paul giving all praise, all glory to God the Father through Jesus Christ. Putting faith in Him and Him alone. This side of heaven, Father, will always struggle with sinners living in a sin-filled world. Thank you, Father, that on days like today, we see the light of Jesus, the light of the gospel, shining through the darkness that gives us hope and strength and trust and faith, guidance and direction, love, grace. Thank you, Father, for that gift. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Thank you, Father. In Jesus we pray. Amen. The invitation that we're going to sing is, I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. If you've never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, then we encourage you to do that today. Make that public. If you need to come and join our church, come and pray, whatever the Lord leads you to do as we stand and sing.
I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. Who strengthens me. He supplies my every need. He supplies my every need. Oh, yes, indeed. Oh, yes, indeed. I have learned to be content in every circumstance. I know how to have a yes, I've learned to be content in every circumstance. Whether hungry or well-fed, in abundance or in want, I can do all things through Christ. I can do all Who strengthens me.
Thank you, Ken, for letting us hear that song today. That was Very, very good. All right, please be seated. All right, first of all, this morning in our early worship, the guy running the sound this morning, Joseph Roberts, was baptized. Our youth minister, Warren Jones, baptized Joseph, and it was absolutely fabulous. Amen. Warren gave a great testimony for Joseph in that baptism. So when you see Joseph, encourage him, all right? Then we had Cole Ayers. Cole's mom and dad, Luke and Mary Hayden, part of First Baptist Church. Mary Hayden's been a part of First Baptist Church since the day she was born. That's Cole, their son. He and I had a great conversation this past Monday, and Cole made profession of faith today to say that Jesus is his Savior and Lord, and in about two or three Sundays from now, we're going to baptize Cole. So next time you see Cole, you say a word of congratulations to him and encouragement to him. All right, then now, that is Cole's aunt and uncle. So Cole said to his, now Cole's uncle has been a part of First Baptist Church since the day he was born. And that's Wade Edwards, his uncle. And his aunt, Hillary, is married to Wade. And so Cole said to Hillary, said, are you going to come with me and join the church? And Hillary was like, well, I guess I am now. And no saying no to that. So Hillary said, I need to do that anyway. So Hillary knows Christ as Savior and Lord. She has followed Jesus in believers' baptism, simply coming from, I think it's First Baptist Church, Fairhope. So next time you see Hillary, you make sure you say a word of encouragement to her. She comes to officially join here at First Baptist Church. All right.
Joseph, volume. In a hole, I would climb up, but then it would fall back down.
77% of Americans feel anxious about their finances. Less than half of Americans have a sufficient emergency fund.
And here's what I know. If you don't have an emergency fund, you are always having two problems. You have the alternator broke down problem and a money problem. Proverbs 15:22 says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed.
Financial confidence is within reach. Join us and learn how to build a financial foundation that honors God and that will stand the test of time.
It's just like the first step, like to really getting you on track. It's just such a great, it's like a game plan. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
All right, so financial learning experience will be Sunday, March the 9th. And it will be in the fellowship hall. It will be from 4 to 6. We will have dinner afterwards. And then, so if you're having any anxiety, any issues when it comes to how can I be the steward, manager of God's resources that God has given to me, the Bible is very clear from Genesis to Revelation when it comes to the issue of biblical finances. And so this is a financial learning experience for anybody, not just in our church. You know somebody lives down the street, a co-worker, anybody that wants to be a part of this. We will then spend those 2 hours talking about biblical finances, budgeting, investing, retirement, all of those different things. And then how can I be the manager, steward that God has called me to be? So if you have any issues and you want some help with that, register right in the middle of your bulletin or right on the far right-hand side of your bulletin. You'll see the QR code. You can hit that or call Karen sometime this week and register. That'll be great to do it. Either way, it doesn't matter. From that experience, then, we will have Roy and Brian Harrell and others, Lindell, Eddie, others will then have different steward discipleship courses that will be 6 weeks, either on Wednesday night or Sunday night. You can sign up for any of those that you would like to for 6 weeks to go into a deeper dive on how you can be how you can do better with your finances. So we've got that experience coming. We look forward to that. But for now, just sign up for that night, and it'll be a really good night. All right? Next Monday, not tomorrow, but the following Monday, senior adults, First Baptist Church, Albertville, Frank Jones Ministries, then breakout sessions. One of our own ladies, Tinley Stewart, will be leading one of the breakout sessions. Frank will be with us next Sunday for annual Frank Jones ministry that he comes once a year. Then he's staying over, and Monday, then senior adults, 10 a.m., First Baptist Church, Albertville. That'll be a fun day for you senior adults, all right? Soup luncheon for our youth 2 weeks from today, March the 2nd, immediately following this worship service, immediately following Sunday school. They will have another soup luncheon. Y'all did so well with that, the first one 2 weeks ago. So they'll have this one and more. What a great experience. And so come planning to be a part of that missions fundraiser. All right. Anything else, Ken?
No children's choir tomorrow since they're out of school.
That's correct. All right. So let's all stand and close by singing "To God Be the Glory."
Praise the Lord.